Welcome to the Forging Honor Podcast. I'm Jonathan George.
And I'm Benjamin Jones. Here at The Forge, we explore what it means to live as Christian men. Along the way, we'll be doing challenges, building habits and character through action.
In today's episode, we talk about how we did forming our habits, whether or not those habits will continue going forward, the stewardship of our bodies, nutrition, and the motivation of exercise. All right, it is challenge wrap-up time. As a reminder, challenges last for 6 weeks, that's 42 days. They are simple daily tasks to grow as men. And the challenge that we're wrapping up today has been exercise for at least 15 minutes every day. So Banjo, how did your last week go? And overall, how would you say you did?
Overall, to start with this week. So this last week was another 3 out of 5. And I would say for overall, I was consistent. That's the word that I would use for this challenge, is I was consistent and pleasantly consistent. I was satisfied. I think I could have done better, but I was satisfied just in that I felt like I consistently got out the door. I knew which days that I was going to be too busy to run. And I didn't put too much pressure on myself where if I was going to only have, 20 minutes in between events, going from work to a Bible study or to something else, I didn't try and say, all right, I'm gonna crush out a 15-minute, core workout and then hop sweaty into my car and pass out in the Bible study. It was just, I have these 3 days. I know I'm gonna get the time that I need to work out for those 3 days and I'm gonna be happy with that. The weather is improving here. It's real nice today. Actually, it's pretty rainy and bleh. But aside from that, yesterday it was like 70 degrees and just the slightest hint of a breeze. I mean, these hills sing. So I'm excited. And I think this is going to carry forward into the next few weeks is my hope. So I'm excited about that. But for you, how was it, JJ?
It was good. My last week, I only hit two days out of the last week, which I wasn't even going to attempt Sundays. But I will say I have felt like overall the habit has been better formed in this most recent go around of exercising, partially because now I have a gym partner, and unless something for whatever reason comes up, vacation or something, I know that I'm going to be at the gym Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 4:30. So like I missed this last Friday because there was a big event out at the farm. But Monday and Wednesday I was in the gym, and I know what I'm doing this Wednesday. I may end up having to adjust the schedule with him to Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, just so I can at least maintain 3 days a week, because I've noticed Fridays often can fall off.
Are you doing a workout plan? Are you just kind of going with the flow, whatever you feel like, or how does that work for you?
What we've been doing is on the days that we're at the gym together, we did put together a little 3-day-a-week plan just from an internet. We just found like what's a full body workout plan that includes a lot of the strength stuff that Kyle was talking about, emphasis on leg stuff, squats, that kind of thing. And the goal with that actually was that we do that for this 6 weeks of the Forging Honor Challenge. So now that it's done, we might adjust the plan, but we're going to keep going at the same time. So our routine has been, he actually gets there a little before me because he likes to get in a run for a warm up. And I don't do that as often because my intention was run the other days of the week. So I get there, quick warm up, jumping jacks or whatever. Then we do a 30 to 45 minute workout depending on the day. And then it's 15 minutes in the sauna. And then head on home. Yeah, there's a sauna at our gym. It's quite nice. I love that. I really look forward to that.
Why do you like the sauna? I don't understand the sauna. I've never grown up around a sauna.
Have you done one before? Have you been in one?
I've never been in a sauna. I've done cryotherapy. I get cryotherapy.
That's very different.
Totally different. And this is what I find fascinating about the human body, that we can have these things that are, if you want to feel better, go in this tank that's 300 degrees below zero, or if that's not your thing, get in this hot box that's 100 degrees, and would kill Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and that'll make you feel better.
It's not quite that hot, but yes. Actually, I don't know what ours is set to, but I start sweating within a couple minutes when I'm in there. And I sweat really good the whole time. And I will say, I think why not both? Why not do cold, hot and cold?
Yeah.
Now within reason, you know, there are people that are like, I'm going to ice bath for 30 minutes. And actually I was doing some research on ice bathing, and while it's good for you mentally and can be good for your muscle recovery, it's actually not good for stimulating muscle growth. So ice bathing, if you're trying not to, if you want to get strong, but not have major gains in terms of just overall weight and physique, ice bathing is a way to help keep that from being overstimulated immediately after a workout. That is, now if you ice bathe within, like if you get up in the morning and you ice bathe first thing and then you work out in the afternoon, it's not going to have quite the same, because there's a time difference there.
Okay. I'm just befuddled by the idea that someone would wake up and immediately want to take an ice bath.
I know a couple of guys in my church actually that do this. Like that's the first thing they do every morning is they go get in their ice bath. Like they have these home ice bath chamber things.
Yeah.
That they've constructed, and that's the first thing they do. And for them, I tried that for a little bit back when we did our ice bathing challenge.
Right.
Actually last summer, back on our old format, all of that in season one, folks, if you're listening, you can go to listen to the old format. But we did an ice bathing challenge, where we did it for 2 weeks, and I did that a couple of mornings where that was the first thing I did. And it was very, I don't know. It woke me up in a really good way.
Well, it'll wake you up.
Oh yeah. Anyway, put all that aside, cause it's less about exercise and more about the stuff surrounding exercise, which I think can be healthy, but I really enjoy the sauna. For me, in some ways it's like the treat I get at the end. So it's almost like it's an extra incentive to get to the gym and like put in a good workout, get really feeling good, my muscles are sore, and then get in the sauna and it just, you know, it all kind of melts away in a really great way.
We can cut this, but I just have to ask, are you wearing anything?
No, there are rules at most gym saunas. Okay. So at most gym saunas, at least the ones I've been to here in the South where we have certain ideas of propriety, for the most part, unless you're at a mud hole in the middle of nowhere, in which case there's a, you know, totally different set of rules, but you are expected to wear at least your gym shorts.
Okay.
Right. And most of the guys, actually, so you'll see two sets of guys getting in the sauna. You'll see the guys that are getting in pre-workout to warm up their muscles. Yeah. They'll get in for like 5 minutes. They're in their full workout, you know, they've
full
got
kit.
Workout full shirt, shoes, everything. Like they don't bother to remove anything. They work up, as soon as they start working up sweat, they're out and they go get, they hit the weights. And then you've got the guys like me who are coming in after their workout and maybe recovery. We shed a shirt, you know, and we're wanting to let the sweat out a little bit more.
Yeah.
But you like, it's still required that you wear gym shorts or a towel or something. So no, you're not completely in the buff.
Okay. Thanks. Sorry about that, Elliot. I had to ask.
No, he's fine. Elliot's our producer for those that don't know. Anyway.
You're going to keep that in. You're gonna.
I'll leave it in there. I'll leave
amazing.
It in there.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, I don't care.
Thanks, folks. apologies for. Yeah. Carry on.
Anyways, so the I look forward to the sauna, and I think there are probably some benefits. I haven't looked into it as much as the weight stuff. So backing up to our actual the intended plan. So the intended idea is we're doing weights of some sort 3 days a week, and then running or core workout or body weight, something on the other 3 days. So not working out Sundays. When we started on this 6 week challenge for Forging Honor, I was actually really good about the running and getting in or body weight or something. I've fallen off that, but the habit of the gym has stuck for whatever reason. So if it ain't broke, I'm not going to fix it. You know,
is it the ritual of going someplace else and getting out of the house? Is that the key?
It goes to what Dave talked about on that episode with the ultra marathoner friend. It's the community. It's the fact that there's a gym buddy.
Yeah.
There is something to the fact that it's at the same time every day, and something to the fact that I know what I'm doing when I'm done with work. But even more so, like he was on vacation for a week and I had it on my calendar to go to the gym, but I did not do it because even though it was at 4:30, he's going to be there at 4:30 ready for me to go, you know?
Yeah.
So, I think it was more the community. So you mentioned, you think that you're looking forward to this habit sticking What do you think is going to help it stick? What are some of the markers of it being a good habit for you so far?
That's a good question. I think for one thing, the easy answer is my schedule is going to open up soon. If I can keep this habit going through June, if I can get through to the beginning of June, my ability to continue to run will improve drastically. I'm thinking running specifically because running just takes more time. And when I'm running, I have a little bit more of an incentive to do some of the core stuff and those things. So once I get through the school year, finish teaching for the year, that will help that a good bit. I miss running in the morning. I love running in the morning, especially coming up with the sun. I love a good dawn run. And I'm not able to do that because I'm teaching when the sun is coming up. Not exactly, but it feels that way. So that will be good. I think also I've set some goals. So I have a half marathon that I'm running. We talked about Dave's half marathon that I'll be running in September. And after that half marathon, I'm really going to start, Lord willing, I'm going to start thinking more about marathons. And I think getting okay with the kinds of events that I want to do in the future. So I have these ideas of like what I want to do. You know, I have a dream of running the Boston. It's something that I want to do. But I don't know if that's soon. I don't know if I feel ready for that or if I want to go pursue that. But I know the thing that I love most is like going and running and getting lost in the woods. Sometimes literally, but preferably metaphorically. And so I think just learning to that's a good thing to do. And that's the way that I enjoy stewarding my body. And then just making it possible to go and pursue that, I think is going to be the key.
That's good.
How about for you? Is it going to be those things of you're always going to make sure you've got like a friend to go and work with? Is it going to be really hammering home that fellowship aspect?
I think that's the only thing that's ever made exercise stick for me. And I mean, you mentioned the running. In the early parts of it, I was diligent about going to F3, something Dave mentioned, and doing the running,
right,
running workouts that they had. And I did a 5K with them. Like I was really diligent about that and fell off. But it was because of the people, right? I wasn't doing it because I decided I wanted to get up and run. But it was all fellowship.
Does for you at this point in your life, does competition factor in at all for you as a motivation for being in shape?
Yes and no. I think like I am competitive, but I can easily decide when I'm willing to be competitive, if that makes sense.
Not so, to me, but to other like, people listening, I'm sure.
when I did the 5K, I went out and, you know, it was like in the last mile, I started feeling pretty competitive all of a sudden.
Right.
But that was an actual race, right? When I'm out, just go on a run with some of the guys, like there's very little, unless I'm planning for a competition, like I'm not thinking about it, I guess.
Okay. Yeah.
A lot of my competitive outlets are performed at this point more in some board games or like my buddies like to golf. And so that's
have some you of taken my competitive up golf? Outlet.
Not significantly, I would say. I've gone and played a few rounds in the last couple of months. The golf season really is only just really getting into full swing, though.
Yeah, I really want to go out and play some. There's some good 9-hole courses around here.
Yeah, that's cool. It's fun, and I find that to be somewhat competitive. At least from a I like it because it can be competitive as a group or as an individual or against yourself. Like, there's a lot of different ways to do it. At any rate, the competition. I'm not sure it gets on. It motivates me as much.
But that's just been a thing for me. I think one of the areas where I have to learn how to like develop this habit of exercise is when there's not competition. That's a new area for me. I mean, there's the fellowship aspect to it for sure. But I really miss having competition and a consistency with that competition. You know, having the same eight guys that you're going to be racing against knowing all of their times and knowing where you stack up next to them, like that kind of thing, or even just going to cross country meets and knowing like, okay, that guy whose name I don't really know, I know roughly where I should be in the pack compared to him because I've seen him at six other races. I really miss that. I really enjoy being competitive, probably to an unhealthy degree. I was trying not to be a sore loser today when my wife beat me at a board game that we were playing, and I think I did okay, but it was sanctification at work. Sanctification at work.
Yes, so. The board games against my wife can sometimes... I get very competitive, actually, in that we were playing a game. We had another couple over a few nights ago. This is not related to exercise, but another couple over a couple nights ago, and we played... have you played that game, Carcassonne? It's like a map-building game. It's pretty fun.
No, I don't know that one.
I get very competitive with that, specifically with my wife. Like, yeah. I don't really care if the guests... Like, we're having guests over. We got to be nice to them, but my wife...
You don't have to be nice to your wife.
So long as I'm in this game. it's a problem. Anyway, back to the topic at hand. One thing you mentioned earlier, I'd like to kind of pull that out a little bit and jump into some of the questions that we asked our guests over our interview episodes. But you mentioned stewardship, which yeah. I love that term. I think it's a great concept. But stewardship specifically of our bodies.
Yeah.
So kind of what did we learn, I guess, from our interviews as far as what does it mean to actually steward your body, especially specifically from a Christian perspective? Does anything jump to mind for you?
Well, I think this was probably the single biggest thing that I took away from both of our conversations, because it came up in both of them, but this idea of responsibility. If anyone hasn't or doesn't know about our website or hasn't checked that out, you can go on there. We've got some more articles that have been coming up pretty consistently. We're mm-hmm. getting in a good schedule, so check back about weekly for things. We're putting more stuff up there. This last week, 2 weeks ago, I wrote an article on why we should watch more movies, or how we should do that, which should not be a surprise from me.
Not from Banjo.
Not from me. But I think that's worth a look. But for this week, especially, I wanted to talk about this idea of responsibility that was popping up, and just thinking that that's it's a lost art, responsibility. We don't take responsibility. We've gotten really good as a culture at shifting blame and thinking that we have, I think, an expectation that a leader is the one who passes the buck. There's no longer the sense in America that, or, you know, maybe it will stop in America, but this, you know, there's not really a sense that a leader is the person where, you know, who picks up the check at the end, who says, you know, this was my fault. Or I'm going to stand in the gap, or any of those things. And I mentioned at some point talking with a doctor friend at our church and how he was talking about how people don't take responsibility for their bodies, and then they expect doctors to fix things that are broken because of diet or broken because of lack of exercise. And part of what Dave said too about our desire for comfort and for ease is really crippling, I think. I think that's a really – I was talking with some of my kids this week, just a small example.
You mean the kids you teach? No,
sorry, yeah, let me
– Banjo doesn't actually have kids.
Right, yeah, that's it. That just there. In case my parents are listening.
That I know of, unless he has
there's
something
not
to
any,
tell me.
No, little – no pitter-patter of little feet.
Nothing yet.
Where was I? Oh,
talking,
sorry, my kid,
with your,
my
with
my
your class.
Students. Yeah, yeah. And they were asking me, they were like, Mr. Jones, how do we talk to an adult? And I realized, like, I'm assuming maybe, JJ, you were similar to this growing up. Like, when we were kids, in order to go see if your friends could play, you had to go, like, knock on a door and talk to an adult and say, hey, can Joe play? You know, can so-and-so come out? And that was like my first experience talking with adults and like interacting with adults. And I had to get really comfortable with that. kids don't have to do that now. They can just call their friend and they never have to interact with an adult if they don't want to. It's fairly easy. I mean, even something as small as like a cash register at Walmart, you know, you can just go to the self-checkout now, which I'll be honest, I really like the self-checkout, but it takes away that need for a human element. JJ's shaking his head at me and I just like the ease.
I don't want to do something easy. I'm paying for.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'd rather someone else scan the item. I get annoyed by those machines. I really, total side topic, I cannot stand self-checkout machines. They're slow. They're horrible. They take more time. They always have problems. Anyway.
See, this is again where the competitive side of me comes out. Every time I come up to a sliding machine, a self-scan machine, I go, okay, I bet I can do this better than the people they're paying to do it. So that's my
I make no pretense.
Yeah. Anyway, all this to say that we're there's a responsibility, there's a general habit of responsibility that I think we're lacking right now. There's not a sense of, and I hope people will fight me on that. I hope people will push back on me a little bit on that one.
Like, say you're wrong. There is a lot of responsibility out there. Push back, yeah. Or it's a wrong diagnosis.
That there is responsibility out there and that it's a wrong diagnosis. Like I would like to be wrong about that. Like I would like to find out that I'm living
right,
in a bubble.
Right.
But I don't get the sense that I am.
I don't either. I mean, I would say that in my particular bubble, most of the guys I know take very good responsibility for themselves, but I regularly encounter people that do not take responsibility for themselves.
Yeah. And I think that I just think it's really important to teach ourselves and to encourage one another to take that responsibility in a healthy way.
And are you talking about in general or specifically with fitness or both?
I think in general, I wouldn't be so specific with fitness necessarily. I think fitness is a good example. But I think the principle is more where I would be concerned, that there would just be a greater urgency not to walk past mistakes and to overlook things and to, you know, really, I think acknowledge our own agency, in the world, I think is key. I've been, I'm starting to ramble. So cut me off when you feel things have gotten too far afield.
That's now. We're getting back on topic. No, I kid. Keep going.
But spending time doing the exercise challenge has pulled me back to the philosophy of existentialism.
On earth did you get from exercise to existentialism?
Well, they have the first, you know, they share the first two letters. How could you not?
That
E and X.
Such great logic. Makes so much sense. No.
No, reason is because.
But for real, why?
But for the real reason is because I think it's running that made me. I would describe myself to some extent as an existentialist, as a Christian existentialist, because I think basically running has led me to believe that it's impossible to live in the world without suffering. There's always going to be suffering in the world. And this is the basic, you know, I think a Wikipedia thumbnail sketch of existentialism is basically, look, there's going to be suffering in the world. There's going to be anxiety in the world. Don't try to live a stress-free, don't live an anxiety-free life. Live your life in a way that comes up against that stress, that comes up against that anxiety and says, okay, how do I make meaning out of this? How do I become stronger from this? Not just resilient, but some people talk about that anti-fragility. Kierkegaard is the chief of existentialists, particularly Christian existentialists. You have guys like Albert Camus, who's really closer to a nihilist than an existentialist, but I would say is an existentialist. I mean, essentially says there's no meaning to life except what we make. Kierkegaard is different from that, and he says there's no meaning to life, or there seems to be no meaning to life except if we understand the Christian faith, and there's a way to live out that Christian faith that makes sense of that meaning. And so running, to me, working out, exercising is a perfect example of that, in that it, just that stuff that that Dave was talking about of, you know, he went out to run those ultra marathons because he wanted to bump up against that sense of the unknown. He wanted to go out and find that kind of barrier to himself. I wrote an essay in college, which maybe at some point we'll link to on the website, but basically talking about this idea of our boundaries and our limitations allow for near infinite creativity. A poem only works as a poem. It's only a beautiful expression insofar as it has its limitations. You know, a sonnet is only expressive of beauty as far as it is finite, in that it's, you know, 14 lines in iambic pentameter with varying rules about rhyme scheme, right? Similarly, as human beings, we are finite, and too often we try to be infinite. But we're finite human beings, and the beauty of human expression is I think found in going right up to the limit of that boundary, but also in plumbing the depths of that finitude. And I think exercise does that because it forces us to say, okay, this is how far my body can go. This is how far my mind can go. Can it go any further? And by practice and by working on it and by fellowship and all of these things, you can. And that's near miraculous to me. So these are kind of the big things that I'm thinking about. That was a big philosophic gumbo. So take it as you will. Sure, grab some cornbread on the way along.
How does you're saying exercise kind of gets you there a little bit as a Christian?
For me specifically, I mean, it was the kind of thing where I didn't have cause to understand. I didn't have cause to make sense of suffering until I was a long distance runner. I mean, I had suffering, but the thing about running, I was explaining to somebody today, running, I think, is essentially the art of finding the place where you hurt and where you can stay hurting for as long as possible. JJ's giving me a
face.
That
is such a philosophical answer. Right?
Well, it is. It is.
Do any other
practical
answer, practical or biological or any other answer about what running actually is? Because you could take that philosophical answer and, you know, if you were reading that as an alien coming to our planet, be like, well, you not arrive at running necessarily for what's being described.
Yeah, I mean, you can arrive at swimming. I have all the respect in the world for swimmers for the same reason. Cyclists, I mean, what they do is just insane to me. But I mean, I think those sports, you know, running, cycling, swimming, all of those kind of things like that are purely competitive sports, in the sense that they are the sports of an individual. It's one person, and they may contribute to a team score, but it's still one person's effort, and they are the only limitation. You know, so, and this is going down a rabbit hole a little bit. So
I think I understand what you're saying, though.
But for example, like in baseball, every ballpark is different. You know, so some teams' home run statistics will look wildly different from another team simply because of the ballpark they play in. And that's a quirk of the game.
Interesting.
But you don't necessarily have that in running, right?
Well, you do with different courses.
Well, you do with different courses, but take track for instance.
Okay, right? Yes, track, where every course should, but even that, actually, different tracks behave differently because some get a lot more crosswind or
put
some
it this
are
way.
At higher altitude. Like,
put it this way, each runner is subject to the same course, whatever course
that's
on.
Okay, that makes sense. Yes.
They're subject to the same course. And so there's no sense in which the runner goes on to that course and sees a different course than the other person, except in their own, in their ability to see, right? Whether the person sees a hill as a challenge to accept or a admittal of defeat already. It's a mental decision. And what I would argue, kind of around what we're talking about, is that the runner that is looking at that hill as a challenge has accepted responsibility for his actions and is saying, I'm going to go and I am going to accept my agency. I'm going to accept my responsibility. I'm going to steward myself over this hill. I'm going to go do that. The runner who sees the hill and says, I can't do that, is denying their agency, is denying their ability, and is denying responsibility, because they're saying, I'm not even going to try. I am not willing to put myself to the test in that way. And I think that's what's great about sports. And that's why I love sports almost as much as I love literature, is because it demands of a person that they put themselves to the test, and that in a fearful way, at its best. You know, I think great sport requires risk, and I think that's what we admire. You know, to go back to, you know, it's like football. I love football. There's just bravery that's required in the wide receiver going up for a one-handed catch in the middle of the field, knowing that the safety is going to come down and hit him like a Brinks truck. Like, that takes guts. And when he comes up with it, it's an absolute display of him taking responsibility. You know, we talk about he put the team on his back. He's taking responsibility for the team. He's taking ownership for the team. And I guess all this to say, as I'm running the hills of Pennsylvania, I'm thinking about these 30 minutes for me are an opportunity to accept that life is painful. As the Princess Bride has said, life is pain, Highness. Anyone who says differently is selling something. And I get to take that truth. Time. It is truth.
It's a very true thing.
And I get to take this time and say, okay, I can't change that. I'm not going to pretend that I can. All that I'm going to promise myself is that I will do all that I can in my ability to glorify God with all that I have. And that to me, that's why I run. And to quote Eric Sure. Little, when I run, I feel his pleasure.
That all makes sense to me. I like it. I think it's great. You and I think very different thoughts when we are exercising.
What are you thinking about when you run? Are you listening to music?
Honestly, half the time, no. These days, I used to a lot, but I feel like that's a different conversation about my taste for music and how I've gotten tired of a lot of stuff. No, and I don't like listening to podcasts when I'm exercising, because I find it distracts from the exercise itself. Mm-hmm. For me, it's, I want to feel myself growing, as both growing stronger physically, but also just, I guess there's a little bit of leaning into the pain of like, I can do this. But then otherwise it's more of clearing my head, because I'm getting done with my long work day and I'm about to go home and have dinner with the family. And I love my family. I have like probably the easiest family in the world. But it's still, there's responsibility as the husband and father to go home and be a good husband and father. So exercise for me is my time to like kind of space out and not think.
Sure.
And once the thoughts, and like, if I'm distracted by my thoughts, then I'm not going to exercise well. So it's different type of maybe it's a different goal in some ways.
Well, you're being very present in what you're doing, right? That's still
true.
You want to be there, and ultimately so that you can be there for your family when you come home, right? Like, that's
right.
You're still taking a great deal of responsibility in your actions.
Absolutely.
You're just not bringing Kierkegaard into it.
No, I'm not thinking through that at all. If I started thinking through that, I would probably have to go a little bit lighter on the weight sometimes. Like, that's the thing. It's like, if I'm focusing on anything other than get this next set done, then it's not going to be as significant of a set or as productive for me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I don't know. I don't know. If one way or the other is necessarily more Christian, I think both can be acknowledged.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
And I think that what you're saying is probably accurate. Any nitpicking I have to do is so minor in those thoughts that it's almost not worth doing right now. But I do think that as Christians, kind of to sum up this portion of our conversation, as Christians, it is very healthy for us to understand why we care to exercise. Why does it matter? And I think a lot of what you're saying is a big piece of it.
And again,
the responsibility piece is worth drawing out because it goes to what Kyle was talking about with,
right?
We have a responsibility to ourselves, to our family, to do well. And he highlighted nutrition a lot, really, but to do well in our nutrition and exercise so that we can be as specifically as men, good leaders, good husbands and fathers in the long term, and show well what it looks like just to use the body that God has given us. And that's something I liked about the you wrote an article for our website a while back on using our body because God gave it to us, not neglecting the body. And that's a big piece of it that I've been thinking about anyway. We hope you're enjoying today's show. It would mean a lot if you took a second to like, subscribe, and give us a rating wherever you're listening.
You can also go to our website at forginghonor.com. On our website, you'll find information about our Patreon, where you can join our growing community. You'll also find articles, book recommendations, and other resources to help support you in your habit-forming journey.
And now, back to the show.
Yeah, I think to that end, I mean, as well, thinking about, you know, as we think about exercise, I think thinking about the flip side of it as well, like thinking about those indulgences that we might have. And I think that's also a responsible use of like, of recognizing that God has made us for certain things. He's made us to enjoy certain, like, I love chocolate cake, like a really good triple chocolate cake. Just that's in my
a really good one, but pie in general is better.
I love a good pie. I make a great pie. Vodka is the secret ingredient. Apple pie.
Ingredient, he says. Ingredient. Are you eating some of that vodka pie right now?
Is it the vodka pie? Okay.
No, and you make apple pie?
Yeah, apple pie. A really good apple pie, if I do say
so
myself.
Crust? Do you make your own crust?
I make my own crust. What am I? Heathen?
We should compare apple pies at some point.
A bake-off. That would be a good
fun. Yeah,
if we get to a YouTube channel.
What I consider to be a pretty decent apple pie as well. But I actually like pecan pie better.
Well, that would
kill me.
Actually, bourbon pecan?
It would
good.
Kill you, but it would be the best last meal you ever had.
The best last meal you ever had. But I was going to say, like, it's worth showing to our children, to our families, how to responsibly, and again, responsibly, enjoy those things that we're created to enjoy. You know, those things are good too. It's one of the pleasures of being Presbyterian.
Amen. Amen. Good stuff. On that note, if you're talking about some of the things we get to enjoy, have you been focusing at all on the nutrition aspect? Like, that wasn't part of the challenge. You know, the challenge was exercise for 15 minutes, but did you end up thinking about nutrition at all?
So a little bit. I mean, there's one, my nutrition over the last couple of months has deteriorated, I would say. I don't think I'm taking quite as good care of myself in that way, except in one
area.
All
the chocolate cake and apple pies.
All that chocolate cake. Except in one area, which is I have begun to eat salad, which is...
I've been trying to cut that out for the longest time. My wife won't let me, though, for some reason.
I've never liked salad. And it is a little bit of a it has to do with the allergy a little bit. I don't like dressing, or haven't liked dressing for a long time, because I would get anxious about it being creamy, and that is kind of a trigger in my normally I associate
right, it's a dairy
with,
thing.
Yeah. But she's found some different things that are good dressings that are creamy. They don't have milk in them, and they're really good. And out of my mouth 2 days ago came the words, I would like a salad. In fact, I would love a salad right now. And my wife just about like dropped her spoon in shock. She was like holding up the spoon.
I believe that.
It was just like, she didn't think it would ever happen. I didn't think it would ever happen.
Well, I don't believe that you said that. I believe that she was shocked. I should clarify.
Yeah. So I don't know what to do with that information. I guess it's good.
You should check your DNA. You're turning into a rabbit is what it sounds like to me.
Well, watch the way I run races. We already knew I was a rabbit.
That's true. You're absolutely right. Wait a minute. It's all coming together now.
So how about for you? Was nutrition a major part of of anything you were thinking through?
A little bit. I've been doing the protein shake thing. Actually, I've since we started 6 weeks ago, I have gained over 8 pounds.
Hey, that's great.
So, and I mean, I started at 150 and I'm not quite, I'm 5'11". So for at 150 and 5'11", you know, I have.
For anyone who's listening, his eye color is blue and his hair is brown.
Just stop there. All right. Well, my point is, I had very little muscle or body fat or anything on me. I was skinny as a rail. And I've filled out a little bit. You can see fewer of my ribs. So I'm happy with that. So in that sense, nutrition played a role, and mostly it was the protein shakes, trying to eat a lot more meat, just get as much protein in as possible, lots of eggs in the morning, and then as many halfway decent carbs as I could get. So I was avoiding sugar. I that's a big thing. I've been trying to cut as much sugar as possible. And then any extra kind of semi-healthy carbs, you know, rice, which is, you could argue whether or not it's healthy because it is kind of starchy, but, lots of rice. My wife makes this amazing rice bowl where she does beef over rice with broccoli. Very good.
Oh, I love a good beef and broccoli.
I could pass on the broccoli myself, but she puts it in there for some reason.
Get a little salt on there. Get nice and crunchy. Oh, it's good.
A little salt, a little bit of like a Korean type sauce on that.
Oh, a little soy sauce.
We do soy and then she does the other spices. I don't know what all is involved.
What is the magic spices that they put in sesame seed oil? I don't understand. Wife has brought this into our home and it's like a magical elixir. It is
good. That, and then we found this, or some friends of ours introduced this sriracha mayonnaise, which is probably like a blasphemy to all Asian foods. I don't care. I put it on all the rice bowls. It's amazing.
Thank you for joining Iron Chef Forging Honor, where we discuss all things masculine and food.
I do love some good food. Anyway, I think one aspect I've noticed is inadvertently, for the longest time, I was barely eating. I just don't have an appetite unless I've exercised, which meant I would sort of eat, I might snack a little, but it wasn't necessarily the best food for me or, you know, what have you. And all of that, like, my wife commented on this way back when I was still in school and we stopped running and I like stopped eating. And she was just, why aren't you eating? Like, I make all this food because you're always so hungry. It's like, well, I'm not running 8 miles every day and burning all these calories. Like, that was a big part of it. And I've noticed in general, maybe there's something to do with replacement rates or there's something to do like of your cells or there's something to do with just like you're flushing your system a little bit better when you're regularly exercising, sweating, eating healthy food. I don't know. I've just felt a lot better lately.
Really happy to hear that you feel a lot better. As you're saying that, a question popped up for me that I'm bummed that I brought it up as we're coming towards the end of our time, but maybe we can make it work anyway. Do you have any struggle walking the line between taking care of yourself and feeling that you're indulging with vanity at all? This is something that I've struggled with.
Indulging with vanity. Define that for me.
Sometimes I feel like – so I'm thinking about – I'm just – as you're talking, I'm thinking through nutrition and why don't I spend more time thinking about nutrition? Why isn't that a thing that I spend much time worrying about? It might be possibly that I have a knee-jerk reaction to thinking too much about taking care of myself because I think that that is vain. And I don't think that's necessarily a right way to think about that. I think probably I should think more about the food that I'm eating. But I have – it comes up less with food. It comes up more with like hygiene stuff, so like hair product is a better example of somewhere where it was a long time for my wife to talk me into, hey, put some gel in your hair. Cause I was like, but that's vain. I don't want to do that. That's like puffing myself up. And she was like, no, it's like, it's taking responsibility. And that was a click on for me of like, oh, I got to take ownership of this thing. But is that ever, as we're talking through this athletics and working out and all this stuff, is that ever something that you're thinking through, or is it not much of a struggle for you at all?
I haven't thought about that a lot. It does go to one of the questions Dave highlighted, which was right. What's your motivation?
What's your motivation? Yep.
And I will say, I think there have definitely been times in my life where I have treated certain aspects of how I dress or what I eat, perhaps in a more vain manner, or maybe not vain isn't necessarily the right word, but in a way that is a little bit self-aggrandizing or something. I don't know.
Sure.
How you would put that. I think, you know, at this point, when it comes to my basic nutrition, a lot of what's going through my head is, how is this going to make me feel tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I wake up, am I going to be miserable because I ate way too many just empty carbs and way too much sugar? Or am I going to feel great and ready for the day because I ate well?
Like, I notice
differences.
Yeah,
exactly. So that's the nutrition side. And you mentioned things like hair product or basic hygiene stuff, which I honestly enjoy that stuff. I don't know. That sounds odd maybe, but I enjoy thinking through, okay, how am I presenting myself? You know me.
Well, I think there's something really, really manly about that. You know, it's one of those things that I don't understand why I have such a hang up about it. Because it seems like if I think about the great men of history, they took care of themselves. You know, that was an element, you know, their wardrobe, you know, manners maketh the man, they say. And so yeah, I think exactly. That's part of it. And I'm not sure why I have that hang up. So maybe that's something to talk about in a later episode though.
That or an after hours episode, if we get around to folks, one thing, sidebar, we've been talking about putting together a second feed of Forging Honor called Forging Honor After Hours, where we just dig into the questions that are, and we have on guests who are, we dig into the questions that are perhaps less practical and more just enjoyable to talk about. Anyway, back to the topic at hand. Yeah, I don't know about the hygiene stuff, but when it comes to like exercise, I know people that do that for vanity's sake, right? They're just trying to get the best body they can or whatever. And, you know, I don't necessarily see anything wrong with wanting to look good and present yourself well in that way.
No.
But, you know, ultimately,
if my motivation, self-glorification.
If it's self-glorification. I think my motivation, it's multifaceted. One, I do like to look good. You know, and I like to feel good about how I look. It helps keep my confidence up. It helps, like, I don't know. I like when my wife comments on how I look. Like, that's
right.
That's
a Those very are all good things.
That's a, I enjoy that. Like, and then when it, on top of that, the other thing I've noticed is when I'm exercising regularly, I feel more up for a little bit of, you know, wrestling in the backyard with my son, or I just have the energy for that because I've been
working stamina.
You know, I have the stamina. I'm not tired all the time, and there's just things like that. You know, I especially think about, I've mentioned this in an earlier episode, like if I need to run with my son for a couple blocks for whatever reason, because we happen to live in a society where terrible disasters can happen, and I need to get out of a place quick, and I need to carry my son or my daughter or both, like, can I do that?
Yeah.
That's just a question. Dad's like strong. I just see that as, I think that's a dad's responsibility. And if you can't do that, like, I saw this horrible video at one point where, fortunately, it ended well, but it was, and this circulated the internet last year, a couple years back. I don't know. So if other folks might have seen it, but it was like, it was a dad and he was pushing a stroller and the stroller got away from him and it starts rolling into the street. And this dad, he's clearly not in great shape, a little bit overweight. And he just collapses. Like, he tries to run after it and just collapses. Like, his body gives out on him because he's never done anything like that before.
Yeah.
He literally collapses and he's sitting there like trying to get after the stroller rolling into the street. And fortunately, a stranger comes and grabs the stroller. But I'm thinking, like, I can never allow that to happen to myself. That would be...
What's that responsibility thing again?
Exactly. And for me, fitness, that's a huge part of fitness for me at this point.
Yeah.
Because for like years of running, honestly, not the greatest on my knees. So my left knee acts up all the time now. And there's another conversation to be had there about how young kids should be when they get into exercising. I think it should be later than a lot of people do.
This whole conversation we had on that for sure.
Yes. At any rate, because I got into running at a younger age, my knee has been hurting for a long time. So I've been doing a lot of strength training, just helping my leg out, helping compensate for the knee. And I've noticed that's helping me. I can get around the yard a little bit better now, a lot faster if I need to. So anyway, that's a huge part of my motivation. So the vanity question, I haven't thought about as much.
Yeah, just that's, you know, I don't think that was anything that was an issue for us during this episode. It's just something that came up here at the end, and really gets to those things that Dave was talking about.
Right.
And I don't think it's much of a temptation. Well, yeah, it's just an interesting thing to think about. I wonder to what extent that has an influence on things. Just something I thought I'd bring up. But I think overall this has been a really helpful challenge, and I'm really excited about what we've done and where I think it's going to go from here.
Likewise, I've enjoyed it's helped form this habit a little bit better for me. You know, every time we get to another exercise challenge, I don't know, last time we did one was probably this last fall. Every time we do a challenge of some sort along these lines, it helps motivate me a little more. But I really enjoyed, I think specifically thinking through kind of taking Kyle's tying in of nutrition to exercise was insightful for me. And then Dave's question of motivation is something I definitely have enjoyed thinking about. Because it honestly, once you figure out your motivations for something, and if they're good motivations, you decide that that's a quality motivation. It helps you. It helps grow that motivation. You know, it causes a good feedback loop.
Yeah. And that's what we're doing here. That's habits forming character.
Very good. Well, I think it's about time we go on to the next challenge. It is time to introduce the next challenge. As a reminder, challenges last for 6 weeks. That's a total of 42 days, including Sunday, so all 7 days of the week. And they are simple daily tasks to grow us as men. This next challenge is going to fall under a broad topic of responsibility, which is something we hinted at towards the end of this last challenge. We were kind of talking through taking personal responsibility with our exercise. But Banjo had some ideas about exploring responsibility further. And so he came up with a habit out of that. So Banjo, introduce this for us.
Yeah, so this is going to be one that I think is going to be pretty open to interpretation, but I think will be useful. So I was thinking about this idea of responsibility. How do we grow that? How do we make that more of a habit? I wasn't sure off the top of my head how to make responsibility more of a habit. But one thing that came to mind that I think will be worth spending some time on is just having a ritual of some sort throughout the day. So the challenge is essentially this, to find or to develop a ritual around some part of your life to help you slow down and recognize your responsibility and your agency in whatever that task is. So this could be any number of things. I'll give an example. One of the ways that I like to prepare coffee, most times when I prepare coffee, it's just a drip situation. Just, you know, pour the grounds into a little thing, pour the water, hit the button and wait. Not much panache to it. When I have time though, I like to take my time and to do a French press. And I like to do that in a particular way. There's a whole method, you're getting the things out, you're steeping, you're grinding. There's time and there's focus and there's dedication that's being spent on every element of that. And there's particular things that I like to do, especially so like taking, you know, boiling some extra water, pouring that extra water into the mug that I'm going to use, and that warms the mug up, right? And that's part of the ritual as well. One of the inspirations for this challenge, I'm thinking of the samurai tradition of the tea ceremony, making a cup of tea in a particular way. That part of the idea with that was that the samurai was recognizing, you know, grace and responsibility and precision with every motion of that ceremony. And I think that's really it's really worth spending some time on. Another example would be, there was a book written, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago now, about making your bed every morning, you know, and that I think can be a ritual.
I think it's been more than 10 years at this point.
Long time ago.
I remember people talking about that anyway.
So I don't know, JJ, help me out. Does this make sense? Is that a wide enough net to cast? Are there more practical things we should say?
I think in some ways it's almost a little too wide, simply because like there's a lot of things that could fall into this. So I would add some clarifications. Like, it needs to be very intentional.
Intentionality is key, for sure.
Intentionality matters, and it needs to be some form of it needs to be linked to responsibility. So like you mentioned, linking to responsibility, I immediately had the thought, you know, we were talking about towards the end of the exercise stuff, about hygiene. And one thing that I've realized is kind of a ritual in my life is in the morning, I wake up and I do a full wet shave with a safety razor. Like, it's this whole thing for me. Like, it takes a solid 10 minutes. But I follow these same patterns every time, and it's this whole thing. And if I don't do it, I feel out of sorts for the rest of the day.
Yeah. That's a great example.
Might be unhealthy, but that's my example. I think that might be something I could use that, I guess, because it's already a habit. But there might be other ones. Like, for a long time, journaling in the evening has been something, just even for 10 minutes, mm-hmm. has been something I've tried and I've failed at regularly. I might try to do that. But that would be linked to directly questions of responsibility and how I'm taking responsibility in my life.
Yeah. It could be something like making it a practice before dinner. You know, maybe if you have a family, this would be, or, you know, it could even be if you're, you know, a single guy by yourself, you get just to list the things that you're thankful for before saying grace, you know, just to take that little extra moment of care and responsibility and to think through some of those things. I'm trying to think of some other ones that would be.
Come up. What about some ideas that it's not? Like, what
that it's not. Oh, okay. So this would be like, I'm not advocating for like a rosary here. If that makes sense. Like, it's not, I don't think that I'm not advocating for, how should
inventing religious things in your life in some way?
Yeah. Or creating an OCD habit. What I'm advocating for is taking a little extra time and care with something. So maybe an example of what it would not be would be, like a sports ritual, you know, would be when you watch a baseball game for good luck, you know, you always spin the TV remote three times, wear your hat backwards, and you have to sit in a particular place on the couch. Like,
you want
to
know my sports ritual, Banjo?
You have no sports ritual?
When my sports ritual is the team I want to win, I make sure not to watch their game. And then sometimes they win.
Yeah.
So
anyway. Yeah. Can you do me a favor and not watch the Pittsburgh Pirates for a little while and, you know, just maybe get them out of this losing streak?
I don't think I've ever seen a Pirates game in my entire life.
Maybe start watching them then. Maybe that will help us.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Anyway, I don't think that's a good ritual. A good ritual would be taking a walk after dinner, maybe in a particular way. Seeing the same sights. I think part of it is I'm interested in kind of like what I was talking about with that poetry idea of like there's this finitude and by setting these boundaries for ourselves, we're able to enjoy something more. We're able to kind of explore the depths a little bit more. A bad ritual would be like, I listen to the same podcast on my way to work every day. Like, I wouldn't say that's a ritual. Cause I think that's more automatic. You're not actually taking time to think through something a little bit extra. That's more of, doing something without thinking hard about it. Does that make sense, JJ?
It does. It would be good.
Do you want to qualify it somehow?
It would be good for folks to go and read up on ritual, especially short rituals and like what ritual looks like, what kind of rituals are in our lives. You know, there's a bunch of podcasts out there on the subject, and every few years. There's a couple different folks that make the rounds on the different podcasts, so you can find content pretty easily on that. I think one of the better definitions I've heard of a ritual is it's more than a habit, in that a ritual helps us takes us from one place to another, physically or mentally.
Yes. Usually both. Yeah, that's like, a good way to say it.
So one of the reasons, like the shaving thing for me definitely is a ritual, is because it takes me from I'm tired, I'm waking up, I'm thinking about whatever, to by the end of that 10-minute period, I'm out of that foggy mental state and into a state of I'm ready for my day, I'm ready to go get coffee on, do my thing. Like,
yeah,
there's a significant mental transition from who I am before shaving and who I am after, right, in that sense.
There's a process to it.
Well, it's silly to say, even it sounds silly in some ways to say for something like as normal as shaving, but I think that there are other things that do that for people.
I think that's a perfect example though, because it is so ordinary. It is, and if you can take those ordinary moments and you can attach meaning to them, if something like a straight razor can become symbolic. You know, if it means more than the object itself, I think that's a good sign that you're doing it right, if that makes sense. And I know we need to wrap up, but one piece of writing that I would recommend people go check out in order to help kind of come to an understanding of this maybe would be check out Hemingway. I think Hemingway is really good on this in just kind of illustrating these things. I'm thinking particularly of Big Two-Hearted River, which is one of the Nick Adams stories. Really good short story. We might talk about it some later on a different episode. But there's a great scene where he's making coffee, and there's a whole ritual to the way that he makes the coffee. And Hemingway spends like a whole paragraph on it, which is a lot for Hemingway. So I think going in and checking out that story, Big Two-Hearted River, would be useful for folks.
Well, very good. I think that's a good place to wrap it up. I look forward to hearing what people's rituals are.
We should say, yeah, if you have questions about it, reach out to us on Twitter or in our or any of our other socials.
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the things, our website, and we have a Discord. You can check that out. So all the different ways to contact us. I would love to hear what people are doing. I might consider like switching. Like, if the habit is to form rituals and the habit is to take responsibility, it might be a good thing to switch it up on a week-to-week basis in some ways, or even kind of
try on some different rituals.
That'd be interesting. Yeah. I'd love to. We can talk about that a little bit off air. Well, very good. I look forward to it.
This has been the Forging Honor Podcast. Music and production is by Elliot George. For more information about what we do or to learn how to get involved, visit our website at forginghonor.com.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure to like, subscribe, and give us a rating to bring others into the Forging Honor journey. On our website, you'll find information about our Patreon, articles, as well as links to the many resources we mention in the show.
Thanks for taking the time with us today. We hope you'll take up the work alongside us and join us in the task of Forging Honor. We'll see you next time.